The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat.
Sunday morning, you are listening to The Sunday Grill here on Beat at the earlier time of 9 a.m. and we are onwards from 9 until 11 a.m. every Sunday. And my first guest this morning is called the Success Coach, aka Heather Thompson. Heather is a certified career coach and trainer based online and in Adamstown in County Wexford. And she's helping people with their career goals and making positive changes. Heather has a long history with work since she was a teenager. She's recently had a career pivot herself and she joins me on the Sunday Grill to tell us more. You're very welcome, Heather.
Oh, delighted to be here, Orla. Thanks so much for having me.
We have so much to talk about this morning. You're the success coach, as we said, a career and confidence coach. Can you sum up what you do and what that means?
Yeah, definitely. So I suppose what I'm trying to do is help people get clear on what it is that they want from their career. Okay. So a lot of the time I'm working with people who are in transition. So they're trying to either get out of a job or get into a job. And I suppose how extreme that transition or change is varies. So for some people, it could just be finding another role in a similar industry. But for other people, it could be a complete career change. So maybe they're going from being a teacher into being a coach. And I suppose what I found the more I did that career transition work is what underpinned people's ability to make any sort of change in their career, whether it was changing jobs, going for promotion, or changing careers, was the level of their confidence. Okay. So I work, you know, that's a huge piece that, you know, gives people the self-belief to go after the changes that they want. So that's sort of the work I do, and it can take many different formats from events and retreats to one-to-one coaching to training. And, you know, it just depends where the person's at.
And you're doing a bit of vision boarding as well, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes time, because that can be really helpful for people as well, can't it?
I absolutely love it. I started doing it myself a couple of years ago. For anyone listening who hasn't heard the term before, it's basically where you put together a collection of maybe images, quotes, words, maybe little trinkets, family photos, and you know, put it into a frame, and it's all around the vision that you want your life to be in the future. I just think it's a really powerful but also like a really gentle way to set some goals for yourself, and particularly this time of year where maybe people are thinking about New Year's resolutions or ready to give up on the ones that they've made. I think it's just a really nice way to go about making some change, not only in your career, to be honest, like in any part of your life. And you put it somewhere where you see it in your home all of the time. So it's just a constant reminder of the person that you want to become.
Okay. What if you've no idea what you want to become?
Yeah, well, you know, you start, I suppose what I would do with people, like a really simple tool that we use in coaching a lot, they call it the Wheel of Life, and it kind of breaks down our life into all of these different like categories or segments. So everything from love to family to career, and actually just spending a little bit of time reflecting and contemplating like how satisfied are you with those different areas. It can give people like the space, gives people the clarity basically to understand what is it that I want. And the more time you spend in that, I think the better as well. Like that's also, I think, sometimes why maybe New Year's resolutions don't stick. Like let's say you start the year and you're saying, I want to lose 10 pounds. Well, like why? Why do you want to lose weight? And actually, if you dug into that a little bit more, like kind of like layers of an onion, peeling them back, maybe it's because you want to feel more confident. Well, you can feel confident in lots of different ways that are not just about losing weight. So I think also like, yeah, learning what you want is about creating some space and time to contemplate and reflect and really dig a little deeper, I think.
Because we're quite frazzled these days, aren't we? We're bombarded with information, like I said. What are we on now? January 11th, Sunday, January 11th. I said I would give up Instagram 11 days ago. Haven't done it.
Right.
I am bombarded with, for your brain, go outside, own your morning, drink olive oil. It's just a lot, isn't it?
It's very overwhelming. And I think that you're so right. Like frazzled is a great way to put it. And then that keeps people stuck, right? Because it's nearly like there's so many options, you don't know what to do first. And like what I'd be kind of saying to people, like I'm a big believer in like starting small and starting simple. And these small, simple changes compound over time. But your ability to do that, it's a lot easier to do something that makes you 1% healthier or 1% fitter or 1% calmer than trying to do all of those things that you just mentioned there.
Yes.
So pick something and start small, you know?
And like, as you said, New Year's resolutions don't always work, but you say you should see it as a time of opportunity.
I do. Like, I think it, so it's interesting. I think for many years we had this, you know, new year, new me type of mantra.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's fallen out of favor a little bit. And I think rightly so, because I think that creates that sort of environment you're talking about, where you're so bombarded and frazzled by all of these things that you should do, quote unquote, that you do nothing, right? But I do just think there is, like, any time you've a chance to like have a fresh start or turn a fresh page, I just think there's something really nice about that. Like, personally, I just love that thought of the possibility around it, like the hope that I could be calmer today or I could be healthier this year. So even if it's sort of an imagined boundary because the calendar year is kind of made up, if that's the sort of catalyst that allows you to start making the changes you want, then why not, you know?
Good advice.
And I'm also like, I'm quite cautious of like putting off change as well. So it's like when you're saying, right, you're frazzled and what do? You do nothing, and all of a sudden 6 months has gone by and you're still in that situation. Whereas, you know, rather than waiting until Monday or next month or whatever, like, what's something small you can do today? So I think about health, right? Like, I always say to myself, like, there's some days, like, health for me is literally like drinking a bottle of water or eating one piece of fruit. Like, it's that simple, you know? But it gets me started and it builds my confidence. Then the more I do those things, okay, well, maybe the following week I add in a walk or, you know, and I build it up.
Because we're quite all or nothing.
I like the possibility.
Yeah, we're quite all or nothing as human beings. Now, you've had quite the career pivot as well, which is why you are the success coach, because you have pivoted from a world of working in a corporate world to doing what you're doing now. And which is great for people who want to talk to you about changing their careers, that you have been there. But what was that about for you mainly, Heather? Was it a change of lifestyle, or what motivated you to do that?
Yeah, do you know what? I loved the work. I loved being a leader. I loved the people that I worked with. But I think a big part of like what we can do in our life is dependent on what we believe is possible. And I had made a couple of changes in the types of companies I worked for to kind of get closer to companies that I would say align more with my values, right? And how I wanted to work. And I sort of realized I was never going to get what I wanted by working for someone else. So I had got to leadership, you know, when you think, oh my God, like, you know, I climbed the ladder, I was getting near the top of it, and all I was doing was going back to back every day in meetings.
Of course.
And I thought, oh my gosh, like, you know, is this what I worked so hard to get to? And I love being creative. I love being strategic. I need a little bit of time and space in the day to sort of think and integrate stuff. I just realized it didn't matter how many more companies I tried, I was never going to be able to work in that way by working for someone else. And so I guess I stopped believing that what I needed was available in corporate, and I sort of realized the best way I can create the work environment that works for me is by working for myself.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that now?
It's just coming. I'm just past my 2-year anniversary.
Okay, well done.
So I think most coaching businesses fail in their first 2 years. So
okay.
I'm wearing it as a badge of pride. I'm still here.
Brilliant stuff. And did it mean a change of lifestyle for you then? Like, what was it, less rat racy, and did your commute lessen, all of that sort of stuff when you changed?
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. I've been commuting up and down to Dublin from Wexford for about 7 years.
My gosh. Every day.
COVID. Yeah. Well, COVID had a positive influence from that. I went from 5 days a week down to, I worked one job. It was actually completely remote.
Brilliant.
And then another job, it was like three days. So, yeah, like I did find it tough to kind of mind my health and have this high-powered job and commute and, of course, all of the other things we have going on in our life, like family, friends, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, definitely, like, the lifestyle for me now, working for myself, like, it's a lot easier for me to, you know, I was talking earlier on about the wheel of life and all the different aspects we have in our life. I find my life is much more integrated now because I can choose, you know, to go for a walk in the middle of the day if I feel
and
like it.
And probably more integrated in your community as well, that you're at home more and getting to know people.
Yeah, you know, I'm a transplant to Wexford. We lived in Canada for 6 years. My husband's from Adamstown.
Okay.
And when we moved back 10 years ago, we moved to Wexford because we both absolutely loved Wexford. So, you know, even though I've been here 10 years because I spent 7 of those driving up and down to Dublin, you're so right. Like now, working remotely, I have the opportunity to get more involved with my community. And I've been, like, for example, last year I did some great work with the Women's Collective Ireland, which have branches both in Wexford and in Waterford as well, actually, and got to meet some amazing women through that as well. So, yeah, like, it's funny. It's like when one door closes, another one opens. And I think that's the thing about career change. It can feel really scary. It is a leap of faith, but, you know, it creates all these other new opportunities and possibilities in your life. And that's really exciting, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, if people want to get some advice from you or they want to try your vision boarding, you have actually an event coming up. It's a vision board workshop. It's on Sunday, January the 25th, and it's at the Ashgrove Yoga Studio in Ballinabula, which is very easy to find in County Wexford. It's a half day retreat and people can get more information on it from your Instagram, which is Success Coach Heather. So you'll be teaching people how to visualize what they want to do for the future.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll, you know, there's a kind of a whole process I'll bring people through on the morning, like I'm saying, like really grounding them in to why they want what they want. And like you were asking, like, how do I know what I want? I don't know what I want. So kind of getting people some clarity. And then, yeah, it is reverting to a little bit of childlike fun where we will cut up some magazines and put that vision together for people. And then they'll have that beautiful representation of what they want themselves to bring home for themselves.
Great stuff.
So, yeah, it's a really fun morning. I always get amazing feedback from it. There's always lovely people that come to it. And I'm down to my last two places.
Okay.
So if any of your listeners are interested, I would so love to see them there.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. So if you want to go on to Heather's Instagram, it is Success Coach Heather. And that is Sunday, January the 25th in Ashgrove Yoga Studio in Ballinabula. If you want to check that out there, lots of brilliant advice there, Heather. I've lots to think about for myself. Thanks a million for talking to me this morning.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you so much for the opportunity, Orla. It was wonderful.
This Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat.
Sunday morning, you are listening to Beat. And who knew that the 2020s would be the decade that has the Irish language having a cultural moment? Aptly 2026, we celebrate 100 years since the formal recognition of the Gaeltacht region. So what better time than to talk about this re-emergence of the Irish language, from kneecap to podcasts? Our Teanga is thriving. But for many, there's still a sense of intimidation when it comes to trying to speak out our native tongue. Well, one woman is trying to change that with her free 21-day challenge. Her name is Gráinne Moore and her website is called Gaeilge le Grá. And Gráinne, tá fáil te rás.
Gráinne, mai agus Orla, íontach deas a bheith an seo, íontach le.
Gráinne, that intimidated me, having to say tá fáil te rás to you. What is it about? I remember I made a feature for a different radio station years ago and it was put up on Twitter and straight away someone was on saying you don't pronounce the G in Irish, and I don't know what it is. It's intimidating, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And because I teach adults now full time and I, you know, help students for Leaving Cert. But I think part of the reason is when we were doing Irish at school, it was exam based. And this is even the oral. And so you were preparing for this conversation where somebody was recording you and had a pen, and it wasn't a conversation because you weren't asking your examiner, well, what are your hobbies? Uh-huh. You know, so it's, we never lived it.
Yes.
The reality of it. We studied it. And I'm a huge advocate. You know, there's this sense, and even learners now, it's great the circle cores and all of that mm-hmm. are happening, because this notion of studying it in your room and kind of waiting until you come out and you'll have some metamorphosis and go, right, now I'm ready.
Yeah,
that's not how you acquire a language. Yeah, mm-hmm. talk to me in 6 months, please.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you have to do it bit by bit. So I recently qualified as a language coach, and it kind of reaffirmed things I've learned over my many years teaching. Do you know that how complex our relationship with Irish is as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ignoring any other language, there's a sense of, as you said, intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sense of fear about it. There's a sense of shame about it, because we all know we studied it. We mm-hmm. all feel we should know more. And, you know, there's a lot going on there. And so that's why even the website, Gael Galagro, I went with that, because I think it's a couple of years ago, it was going around, you know, if you can be anything, be kind.
And yes,
I absolutely agree with that. And so
people don't always remember that, though, even with the person pulling me up on Twitter about how I pronounce certain words on the radio. Straight away, I thought, I'm not speaking this again. So,
yeah, because if you're studying and whatever, study equals pressure.
Yes.
You're either going for an exam, and criticism, you know yourself, you go into a room and everybody's speaking in your favorite language, your most confident language. If you're under pressure, you're silent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's magnified
mm-hmm.
in a different language. So that's why the Gael Galagro is really that. We're in this together. We will learn it with a bit of love and kindness toward each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that the ultimate respect, when I mean goes to the language, goes to the revival of the language. Because I see we're making mistakes, myself included, left, right and centre in English. But because we're confident...
Yes.
If you want to be particular, anybody could come and criticize my English here
uh-huh.
and arguably my Irish anywhere. That's not the sense of perfection or grammatical snobbery.
Uh-huh.
That's not what I'm about. That's what's kept us all quiet for so long.
It's so interesting you say that, because we have a very specific way of speaking English here in Ireland. And, you know,
yeah.
we very much embrace that and celebrate it. And this is where Gael Galagro comes in, your website. You have 21-day free videos that people can click on every day to learn different conversational Irish. Up to, on lesson 20, you should be able to have a conversation in Irish.
Hands down, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I actually have three 21-day challenges.
Yes, I see that. You have some online fee ones, and then this is a free one, is it? The 21-day one?
Yeah, it did. So, and I kind of realised that... like that, I don't believe in the higher, middle, lower,
mm-hmm.
Because again, that implies that you have to pass one to get on to the other,
mm-hmm.
and you have, you know, and it just adds, I think, to that connotation that we already have that, oh my God, I'm not good enough, have to get better, have to pass, whatever. So there's no levels. Once you know how to say hello and goodbye, you know how to say hello and goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm not going to grade you or anybody on it. So the free one that you're referring to, and actually they'll get up there later. I started it in August, shall we say, but there's also 10 sessions just to get us all into the right frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, because you know, to help us alleviate, lose that fear, help us understand why we have that fear, and just, you know, just motivational things. And so the free ones, yeah, day one, well,
hello.
Listening to me for 2 minutes
yeah.
may arguably be a challenge in and of itself. But the challenge is that once you've listened to that, that for the rest of that day, you eliminate saying hello and goodbye. And
mm-hmm.
regardless, whomever you meet, it doesn't matter if it's you're getting a coffee, you're hopping onto the bus, you're passing somebody on the street. Like, and we should use that as our training ground, because sure, many times we say hello and goodbye
yeah, exactly.
to people, and sure, nobody's commenting. And the main hope for this is that you do it with a group.
Okay.
Now, if we say there's 10 of you at work, right, and you're kind of going, hey, we'll do this, right? So you decide the advantage of doing that. Now, you listen to your 2 minutes, and like day one is just hello and goodbye, but there's a bit of explanation and motivation in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the advantage of that is that it takes away that intimidation, because you do know sometimes we're afraid, oh, well, my Irish isn't good enough, and we're thinking that everybody else's Irish is better. And so that keeps us quiet.
Okay.
So if we all know that we're on day one, well, nobody's going to go beyond day one.
Well, true.
So I'm not going to say hello to somebody and think that they're going to bundle me off and have an oral Irish exam. Hey, I know you guys are only on day one too.
Mm-hmm.
So that we do all that. So we meet, we greet in the morning, we're doing the Irish, then we bring it everywhere we go. We bring it home. We can champion it at home. And there's lots of tips on, you know, putting Irish in and around the house and stuff. So then when day two comes, where they're going, right, okay, now we're doing all the please and thank yous.
Yeah.
So in the office, anytime it's, if it's Banya, and you'll find yourself, your Irish will come back. The bells will be ringing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We'll not cover Banya and cafe and tea, but you know these things. So it, there's just a loveliness about it that everybody is together. So that intimidation
of,
if I say hello to this one, they're going to go on and I'm busted.
But they can only do
and even I think, yes, and I think even on day six, it kind of covers something like, hey, I'm only learning here.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So that you can get out of it.
Yeah, true.
So you're shouting it out to the wind almost. And that's how you build confidence. Whereas if you kind of go, right, I'm going to do this. And then the next time I see whoever at work, I'm going to, you know, I'll speak to them.
Yeah.
You've built it up again yourself already.
Yeah, that's great.
You made an issue out of it.
It's GaelGillagraw, by the way, .com, if you want to check that out. And you've lots of different things on it. But tell us about writing a book in Irish. I'm so interested in this. And this is such a great idea. It's conversational Irish you've written this book in. It's called Brode, is that right?
It's called Brode, yeah, which is pride. And again, I don't know, half of our kind of relationship with Irish is kind of, I hate saying the word shame or that, or a little bit of embarrassment that we're not better.
Yeah.
So I think we need to focus on the positive in that. I like writing anyway. I wrote a book in English a good few years ago, and I like chiclet when I read.
It
sounds like I'm completely anti-study here, but you know, it's my
There's no shame in saying you like chiclet.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know, and it's, and during COVID, I suppose I was trying to, everybody's saying, you know, new skill, all this crack. And I said, go, Gron, you know, for my own sake, I must read a bit more Irish, you know. And I just found there weren't the types. It reminded me of when I was doing the degree and doing other courses of study and stuff. And I thought, this feels like study.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it kind of goes, right, I'll try and do something chicklity as Gaelga. Now, and it is, it's a conversational Irish. It's sort of everyday Irish, but did I have to go to the dictionary a lot? Hands down.
Okay.
Because I'm not getting to live my life every day in Irish really either.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I have a couple, oh, hands down, I have a good friend of mine, and we WhatsApp and we leave our little voice notes in Irish, and do you know, there's vocab that you don't encounter studying.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you kind of go, oh, can you think of that? Sometimes we make up words that suit, do you know, and we're not doing PhDs on, you know, perfect Irish grammar. And I know for some, there is that, I'm probably going against some of the notions of, you know, this being right, but and being immensely kind of grammatically correct. But I'm there going, that hasn't got everybody speaking Irish yet. So let's go
try
more
something
relaxed.
Else. And I think that's why these podcasts and songs in Irish are really helping for people. Where can people find your book, Gráinne?
It's available on Shopalara.
Okay, good stuff.
.ie.
On Shopalara punk.ie. Punk is a great one when web starts.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean?
It's ingrained in my head that .ie is punk.ie thanks to ads and stuff like that. Let's give people... Yeah, go on, sorry.
And we've lots of those things. I'm sure you know people who, you know, and they tend to be kind of, I'm not saying country people in the negative way, I am myself, but the other way you'd have people who kind of, you ask them how they're doing, and it's, aye, right enough.
Yeah.
And so that comes from our Ceart Galore.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which literally means right enough.
Yes,
do you know, so we've loads, do you know, and you know the whisht?
Yeah.
Well, sir, tish the silence, you know, so whisht.
Oh, yeah.
So we've so many.
Yeah.
Because it's our language, it was formed for us, by us.
Wished.
You know,
yeah. Yeah, it's a great one. Well, look,
Yeah, let's absolutely.
Send people to your website. It's gaeilgalegra.com, and the 21 Day Revival Challenge is there on Course of Bug. And then your book is called Broad, that you can find on, is it on Shopalour? Punk yeah. IE. Okay.
Yes.
Excellent Shining stuff. Duck. Thank you so much, Gurv Mahagut.
Gurv Mahagut Orland, Intok Jas Larslat.
It was lovely to talk to you, and happy 2026. I'm sure I'll talk to you again.
Oh, I'd love that. Gurv Mahagut. I was too fain.
This Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat.
It's Beat and the Sunday Grill. I hope you're doing well this morning. And of course, Saipan is out now, the sports film based around that event between Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy from the 2002 World Cup. It stars Steve Coogan, but it also stars Southeast actor Jamie Beamish. He joins me this morning because I think, Jamie, have you done a couple of Roy Keane numbers?
Yeah. This is my first rodeo. Let's put it that way. As regards Roy Keane, that's right, Orly. Yeah. Because God, I spent 2 years. What was it? In 2007 and 2008, playing Roy Keane in the musical Ikeno, you know?
God, that was such a time. So that was just, when did that come out first then? It first came out not soon after Saipan and the whole tobacco.
Yeah, because Saipan was 2002. And then Ikeno, the first production of that, which I wasn't in, it was Mario Rosenstock, that was in 2005. Wow. It's only 3 years, you know, wow. So it was really, really recent. And even when I did it, it's only a few years before. We're a long way off now.
We really are. And I suppose a lot of people don't remember that time.
Well, there's a lot of people who weren't born. Exactly. Let's be honest. Yeah.
And the absolute mania of it all that Roy got up and left during the World Cup. Well, before we even talk about Saipan, were you playing Roy when Roy came to see Ikeno?
No. Phew. He saw it twice. You know, I was actually when I went into it, I was Keno number four.
Okay, wow.
You know, so there was three other actors before me had done it. I think they all feuded with the management, so it was like art imitating life as such.
But exactly.
And so I think he saw it when, who was it, Pat Kinavan, the great Cork actor, he was playing Keno.
Okay.
Roy saw it first then, and then they did it a few years, 11 years ago now, in 2015, when Roy was the assistant manager of the Ireland squad. They revived it. I saw that myself. It was like an out-of-body experience watching the show, you know, not being in it. And Roy went to see that all right as well. So they, and Stephen Jones, who's actually in Saipan as well, Stephen Jones was playing Roy at that stage. So no, I never got to meet him, or like he never got to see me play the part, you know.
Okay. Well, he's another chance now, even though you're playing a completely different character in this. You are Dickie Maloney.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, how to say it and not get into trouble. It's funny. So I basically, the character is more a representation. I was saying for a while he's an amalgamation of different people.
Okay.
I don't know if he is. He's more a representation of the FAI.
Okay.
As such, or the Football Association, as it's called in the movie. We have to be careful with what we say.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the representation of that, you know, organization at the time.
Okay.
You know, and like for people who see the movie, you'll see what it is. He's kind of the bogeyman in many ways, let's be honest.
And did you enjoy playing that character?
Oh, it was great. I mean, God, it's a magic part. I was so, when it came in, you know, the audition came in and stuff like that, and I did meet the tape for it. And I remember looking, going, I know that story very well, you know, because we've just been talking about the history of it. And I was kind of going, I'd love to be part of this, because by that stage, when we were doing our tapes, Steve Coogan was attached and Aina Hardwick was attached, who's playing Roy.
Brilliant.
And Mick. And so I was looking, going, well, that's brilliant casting straight away. And two terrific directors, Glenn Leyburn and Lisa Barris-Desaad, loved their work. I was kind of going, I'd love to be part of this. And a couple of scenes they sent me then were, you know, were good scenes. And so did them. Then got the offer. Couldn't believe it. Amazing. Then got the script. And I look, oh, wow. Okay, right. This is bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And which is great. It's always a lovely surprise.
Mm.
And it was great. Yeah. I don't know. I had a ball doing it.
And when was this? How long ago was all that?
Oh, God. We shot it in August and September 2024.
No way.
So, yeah, for real. Yeah, about a year and a half ago, yeah.
And how long were you on the shoot for?
I think all my stuff was done within. It was a very short shoot. Yeah, like this is an independent movie, which is which is the thing as well. Like when you see the film, it looks $1 million. It looks terrific, but we shot it in Belfast. We didn't go to Saipan or anything like that. There's a few shots in Tenerife and stuff, but like, and I didn't go to Tenerife either. I got Belfast. Let me tell you, you know, I know, yeah. But it was amazing what they did with it, and we shot it all in about 7 weeks altogether, if I'm right, maybe six even. But I was on it for about five, and it was great because it was a great bunch of actors. Some I knew, some I didn't. But there was all the lads, you know, playing the footballers, and then people, you know, kind of playing other parts like the coaches and different things like that. It's great. It was a magic shoot, you know.
Brilliant stuff. And then you had a showing of it in the Theatre Royal in your hometown of Waterford. And was it last week with all proceeds going to the Sullis Cancer Support Centre?
That's right, yeah. It was actually at the Odeon. We used the Theatre Royal. Yeah, yeah. We used the Theatre Royal to sell the tickets is what it is. Because Sullis have a kind of a relationship with them. And it was brilliant, yeah. Yeah, the producers and the distributors and Odeon themselves, I approached them. Because I was kind of going, you know, like, when you have something like this that people will want to see, I was thinking, God, maybe I could do something with it. And actually, it was my great friend Josh Bulger said to me, when is the Waterford premiere? And I said, there won't be a Waterford premiere. And it started me thinking that maybe I could put something on, you know, to raise a bit of money for Sullis, who I work with a bit. And I was thinking, like, it's not like, you know yourself, Orla, I can't like bring a load of people into my living room to watch Bridgerton and charge them money. Like that's, you know, for charity, that's not going to happen. But because this is in the cinema, it's, you know, a movie that people will want to go and see as well. I thought, you know, here's an opportunity. And then we had a great night. It was packed in there. We raised over €3,000 for Sullis, which was brilliant. And then after the film, watched the movie, great, had a good time. And then after the film, we did a Q&A hosted by Jim Nolan. And there's myself on the panel in the film, obviously. But we had Daryl Murphy and the legend Alfie Hale, both former Ireland international soccer players.
You know, and Alfie Hale has a connection to Roy Keane as well, does he?
Oh, totally, yeah. Like Alfie managed him in Cove Ramblers, wow. You know, back before he went to England to play over there. And actually Daryl was, he was managed by both Mick McCarthy and Roy Keane in his career as well. So it's a real lovely kind of, you know, connection between those Waterford players and the two boys, you know,
I'd
that are being depicted in the
stories.
Movie. It's great.
Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, we went on forever, I can't tell you. You know, it was supposed to be an hour and it went much longer. Let's put it that way.
Oh, lovely. Well, yeah. Saipan is out now. Loads of massive stars, including our Jamie Innes and Steve Coogan in there as well. And as you said, Aina Hardwick too. Anything you're doing these days that you can tell us about, Jamie?
Hey, well, I've got another series. I've got a series coming out on Netflix now in February.
Brilliant.
So Lisa McGee, who wrote Derry Girls,
excellent.
It's her new, yeah. It's her
so
new
is this
series.
Your third time doing something with Lisa? Did you do the?
It is.
Yes.
I did London Irish for her as well. Yes. Yeah, bang on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lisa's great and she's very loyal, you know, and God, I'm such a fan anyway.
Oh,
and
she's just brilliant. Yeah. So what's
brilliant.
That called, Jamie?
So it's called How to Get to Heaven from Belfast.
Okay,
and it's
good stuff.
Oh my God, it's going to be amazing. The scripts are unbelievable anyway, but like it's, you know, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
So you suddenly, you're going from a Channel 4 budget to a Netflix budget.
I can imagine.
So, and she's taking advantage of it. Let me tell you, it's going to be brilliant.
Brilliant. And do we know when that's going out?
Yeah, they haven't announced when in February, but definitely February.
February,
you know,
we'll watch out for that. But in the meantime, we'll see you in Saipan. Jamie, thanks a million.
Please.
That's Jamie Beamish.
Thanks a lot.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat.
It's a Sunday morning. You are listening to Beat. It is, of course, the Sunday Grill. And I have a new love sneak into my life in 2025. She was cheap, but she cost me hours of my time and turned me into an expert haggler. She is, of course, Vinted. And it's taken Vinted some time to rise to prominence, but it's now overtaken Depop in the rankings. In fact, in 2023, they jumped sales by up to 61%. That's about 513 million. So they're massive. And I don't really know where they came from when it comes to my life. It just kind of snuck in. But sustainable fashion blogger Kira Ashmore, she is my pre-loved gear on Instagram, joins me to chat about the platform and how you can make it the most out of it this morning. You're very welcome, Kira.
Hi, Orla. How are you? Good to have you. Good to speak to you.
I am really good. Thank you. Vinted just came. Like, I knew about it. Then someone told me they bought something lovely on it, so I went on, and now I'm sucked in, completely sucked in.
I know. It just kind of came out of nowhere. We had Depop for so long.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden vintage came on the horizon. I would follow quite a few people from England, say, on my page, and they are always talking about vintage and the unbelievable deals that they got in vintage. This for £10, this for £5, like gorgeous vintage and things like that. So I was kind of, and I knew about it and I was anticipating it arriving in Ireland. And when it finally did then last year, it was just, it changed. It was a big game changer, I think, for a lot of people.
You're so right. I had forgotten about that. So many people that I follow, because once you clicked on vintage, you just couldn't get into it at all in Ireland. So
you couldn't, no. Totally, and I tried to set up an account a few times. Mm. Yeah. And they just said, oh, not available. You'd go in and do the whole thing and it's not available in the Republic of Ireland. So that was a bit disappointing. But when it did arrive, I think it made a lot of sustainable girlies very happy.
Oh, completely. What's been your best buy on it?
So I'm relatively new to vintage, in the sense that I'm still trying to navigate it. Mm-hmm. My problem with vintage is I have too many things that I can't part with.
Yes.
So it takes me a while to decide that I want to part with something. But I was on the hunt for a new pair of Doc Martens there recently, mm-hmm. Before Christmas. And the great thing about vintage Ireland is it's paired with vintage France. So
yes,
you're kind of getting a bit more of a pool of you know, fashion. There's more to choose from. So I came across a seller in France. Who just sold only Doc Martens,
okay,
and a
brilliant.
Lot of them were brand new. So this particular pair, gorgeous platform pair, were up for €130. I chanced my arm because I saw the make an offer. You know, when it was a shop, she sells quite a lot. I just thought, I'll chance my arm. I'll click the 10% off offer and just see. All they can do is say no. I was fully prepared to pay the €130 and they accepted it. So I got an unbelievably gorgeous pair of brand new Doc Martens for €117, and then you just pay the postage on top of it.
Yeah,
so
nice.
I was delighted myself.
Now
yeah,
the French
really
postage shocks me sometimes, you know. It really does add to the price, but it's still you know, a percentage of what you would buy if you bought it new. And it's also like having a really positive impact on climate change and the circular economy, etc, etc. So we're doing our bit, aren't we?
100%. And I think people do this for so many different reasons. Like, they're doing it obviously from a sustainability standpoint and an environmental standpoint, because I think people are way more aware now of all of the conditions that, especially, I mean, predominantly women in places like Bangladesh and China that are making our clothes. And I think people are a bit more aware now that they're not getting a living wage. You know, they kind of are looking elsewhere to get their clothes, and what better place than to get it secondhand. And I think it you know, it makes sense financially because everything's so expensive now. And then also I think it really improves, it makes you kind of curate your own personal style, because you're finding something that no one else has. You're not linking in with a trend as such. Vintage kind of allows for that, because you can search keywords and stuff and you can end up, you know, looking for something and getting something that you really want. But you're not going into a fast fashion store and seeing a whole rail of something that someone is going to walk by you wearing 2 days later. So you do get the chance to make your style your own a bit more, I think.
Yeah. The one thing that I like, vintage drives me mad about though, is that I was searching for a bag there a few days ago, and now all I'm getting is the same make of bag constantly.
Yes. Your algorithm just completely changes. It flips around to they think you want 20 of these, you know. No, I just want one, and then when I bought it, then I want something else.
Yeah. Do you have any little nuggets? I know you talk about saving searches and you know, waiting the long game almost.
Yeah. I think the search is really good. I think the more specific you are in a search, the better. So if you're looking for a dress for a wedding, for example, that you might go, okay, am I looking for a maxi? Am I looking for a midi? Am I looking for a long sleeve? Like, is it a particular brand? Have I seen someone else wear it maybe? Or is it a kind of style from a certain brand, maybe like a Damson Matter or something, that kind of style, you know, that you're actually putting in key search words. And then if you don't get it there and then, if you can't find it, like that, wait in the long game, because usually it does pay off. Someone somewhere in Ireland or France will part with something eventually, and it can be yours, you know. But I think it's kind of like the thrill of charity shopping, that you might not find the thing that you want on that particular day, but when you do find that thing that you really wanted on your wish list, it just makes it all the sweeter, you know.
And have you ever paid the full amount? Because I think when you start off in vintage, you don't realize that like offering is the way forward.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, I've only actually bought two things on vintage.
Okay.
I've so many things saved, but I'm trying my best. I'm not being very successful, but I am really trying, especially now in the new year, to curb my my spending and just my buying of clothes and just trying to, because I don't need all of it. And I, you know, just being a bit more of a conscious consumer maybe. So I would use the offer for the Doc Martens and I got the 10% off.
Yes.
And then I bought another pair of shoes and they were, I think I paid the full price for those, but I didn't mind. I think it was someone selling them that I bought them and they were the wrong size. So it wasn't like a shop as such. It was someone who just was unlucky and the shoes didn't fit them.
Yes,
so I was happy to pay.
That.
And I think it was only €40 and they were brand new. You know, it wasn't crazy money.
And I know you're finding it hard to get to, you're trying not to buy, but you're finding it hard to sell as well, and that you don't want to give many clothes away. But have you ever sold on Vinted?
Yeah, I sold a couple of pair of shoes and I sold a dress, I think. I can't really remember because I've sold stuff on Depop in the past, but I just found Depop a little bit more difficult to use in the sense that just with the postage, it's more, I'm losing my train of thought.
Don't worry. I'm
nervous. So I think with Depop, you have to add on the postage. So if you have free postage, it's more attractive to people because, you know, oh, it's free postage, I don't have to pay the extra.
I think that's what it is about Vinted as well, is that you're not paying the postage and it's like they've really thought about everything. When I sold something first on Vinted, I thought, oh, I have to print up this stupid label. Then someone said, no, you just go in and scan it. And I am constantly in the post office selling and collecting stuff now because of those, that ability to do things with such ease.
Yeah, and I think that really is one of the perks of it as well. Like you literally just have the scanner code on your phone. You go in, they scan it, they printed a label there and then for you, and it just couldn't be easier. And then I think what's a good thing about it is you post it, it's usually a tracked, I think it's all tracked postage.
Yeah.
And then you have notifications on your phone. The person who bought an item has notifications on their phone as well. So until that person actually receives their item, you know exactly the day that they're going to get it. They get reminders to pick it up from their local drop off or pick up point or whatever, you know, if they don't want to deliver to their home because they're in work or whatever. And then you get the notification to say, okay, that person has the item. And then like a day later or a few hours later, maybe you get your money in your Vinted balance, which you can spend. It's so good. And you can spend it on other things on the website, or I think you can actually withdraw it as well.
Yeah, you can. I've done that. Now you have another, I don't even know if it's calling it a secondhand clothes seller that you're a fan of, because it's a bit more high end, isn't it? And that's Vestiaire Collective.
Yeah. So I've used that quite a bit. I think when I went off Depop a bit, buying things, because I think with Depop, if you're buying something on Depop, I usually kept it to Ireland, because if I bought something from maybe England or further afield, you know, the postage is crazy if you have to pay for it. So I went on Vestiaire Collective and I was looking for Ghani stuff. So I love Ghani shirts and dresses. I just love the kind of the style. So that was really, really good. It's similar to Vinted in the sense that you can haggle a bit, so you can suggest amount that you want to pay within reason, obviously, because, you know, you can't be silly about it. The only thing is they do charge, I think it's €15, an authentication fee to make sure that if, because it is quite, I think, I mean, they sell Chanel bags on this website and then they also sell, you know, Zara things on this website. So it's a massive, massive scale. So yes, it's I think if you're willing to buy, if you're buying something expensive, then you're going to be more willing to spend the money to authenticate it and make sure it is the real deal. And then you pay your postage as well. Now, I think the postage is a bit more fixed. I think it might be €15 from Europe, which like that is quite expensive.
But
if you were buying something, if you're splashing out and you're getting, you know, something you're paying €100 for, you might think, do you know what? I got it for way less than it would have been. So I'm happy to pay the extra. Okay. So it's nice just to have a few options
rather than just
going into the local charity shop, you know, which I love doing as well.
Yeah.
But this is just the comfort of the couch, having a little scroll.
Oh, listen, at one stage I was using it more than social media. It just became my scroller over Christmas.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
No, it's great. And as we said, we're doing a little bit for sustainability as well. Kira, thanks a million for joining me. Some great tips there on Vinted. And
thanks
also, if you haven't looked at it yet, have a look at Vestiaire Collective. It's quite addictive as well. You'll find Kira on her Instagram. It's My Pre-Loved Year. If you want to check her out there, that is Kira Ashmore. Kira, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me, Orla. Thank you. Bye.
This Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat.
It's Beat. You're listening to the Sunday Grill in our new time between 9 and 11 a.m. So Brian doesn't know what to do with himself.
Yeah.
He had to get up an hour earlier.
Look, for you, Orla, I'm willing to make sacrifice.
So not true.
Also, in the new year, I've been actually sleeping. I've been going to bed at like 8 p.m. and waking up at like Well, last night I went, woke up at 1 a.m.
That was foolish.
I've been awake since 1 a.m.
So you go from one extreme to another.
No,
really.
I've somehow managed to mess up the sleeping
algorithm
of the 8, going to bed at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I've somehow managed to still
maybe push forward to 11 p.m. maybe.
Yeah, well, it's the first time ever people are telling me just go to bed later.
Yeah.
Normally they're like, you have to go to bed like
before midnight.
Ideally 3 o'clock. Like.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it's been quite the week for Brian. He's discovered 8 p.m. sleeping, but it's also been quite the week for Timothy Chalamet, winning Best Actor at the Critics' Choice Awards, the precursor for the Oscar nods, and calling out his love for partner, Kylie Jenner. Partner's a weird one.
Why?
They're a bit too young for partner. My partner of 3 years. My girlfriend. My lover. No, not lover. Lover is awful. My girlfriend. Girlfriend is good.
My boo thang.
My boo.
He probably would say, I want to give a shout out to my boo thang.
To my boo thang. Yeah. I want to give a shout out to my boo thang. Brian Griffin.
You're my little boo thang. Oh, yeah.
Anyway. The reason we're seeing so much of Timothy, of course, is thanks to A24's biggest revenue turner in the UK, Marty Supreme. And when we're talking to A24, there's so many movies that made massive money for them. Everything Everywhere All at Once is one that you... Did that win the Oscar last year? Was it two years ago?
Probably, it might even be three.
Gosh. Anyway, this is Marty Supreme. I've heard so many mixed reviews about it. It's loosely based on the real-life American table tennis champion and hustler, Marty Reisman. Timothy is the table tennis player. And Gwyneth Paltrow is in there as well. It's nice to see her return to the big screen. Will we have a listen?
Okay.
Here we go.
I have a purpose.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. Do you make money at this little table tennis thing?
Not yet.
Do you have a job?
No.
Backhand, forehand.
How do you live?
Well, I live with the confidence if I believe in myself, the money will follow.
And what do you plan to do if this whole dream of yours doesn't work
that
out?
That doesn't even enter my consciousness.
Maybe it should.
Everything in my life's falling apart, but I'm gonna figure it out.
If you need any help, I could help you.
You wanna go hustling again?
Put your money where your mouth is.
176, 177, 178, back, baby, yeah!
There you go, that is Marty Supreme. I don't know about this. I'm back in college lecturing, and one of my students said it's been made for the social media generation because it's so fast moving and really...
It is pretty fast moving. I never really thought about it in that sort of way.
Yeah, he said it's for people whose attention isn't great, and it made me think, I don't want to see this, but I also don't want to see...
It is 2.5 hours long.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot of attention.
How fast moving.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us, Marty.
So, it's an interesting movie. So, Timothy Chalamet is a ping-pong table tennis player.
Ping-pong.
Yeah, and... He has a couple of booth hangs actually in this. He does indeed.
Is Gwyneth one of them?
Gwyneth is one of them.
Gwyneth looking well.
As is Odessa.
Oh, she's the one with the fantastic voice. Really raspy voice.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's gorgeous. Fairly stunning to be fair. Mm. And so Gwyneth Paltrow plays Kay Stone, like an old school Hollywood actress that's kind of like retired.
Mm-hmm.
And Timothée Chalamet just wants to play ping pong and doesn't care who he stands on to do that.
Ping pong, okay.
And...
Does he call it ping pong?
It's probably table tennis.
It is table tennis.
Ping pong. But you know, you got that in my head now. But one actually the most interesting casting in this, well, there's two actually, like there's one, like Tyler the Creator is his friend in it, which is
I love, yeah,
like Tyler the Creator is hilarious. Mm. I actually loved seeing him in the movie.
Yeah.
But so Gwyneth Paltrow's husband is this like billionaire businessman played by Kevin O'Leary, who you probably know from Shark Tank.
Okay.
Like he was an actual like businessman and investor person.
Can I have a look?
So like it's actually quite cool to just have that person who has the presence, who knows the field to be that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to pretend to be a billionaire when you've like the aura of a billionaire that in a way of like, I don't really like you, but you can understand why you need them, like, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Timothy is just he's channel minded that he just wants to become the biggest table tennis player.
Oh, he has manifested this.
Mm.
Yeah, he is down one route and one route only.
And through that, throughout the movie, personally, you really begin to hate him.
Okay.
You don't like him. You don't like the character.
Uh-huh.
But by God, do I want him to get to play table tennis.
Okay, that's
like,
interesting.
I back his dream, but I don't like the fella.
Right.
You know, it's like you respect the hustle.
You hate the hustler.
Hate the player, but you like enjoy the game kind of a thing. No, it's supposed to be the other way around. But it's an interesting way of making a movie, but it is like Josh, you know Josh Safdie?
Nope.
One of the Safdie brothers.
Okay.
But he, so his brother actually is Ben Safdie. He made The Wrecking Machine with The Rock.
Okay.
A couple of
Oh yeah, we've reviewed that.
And so Josh Safdie's movies are kind of, these not great people are just trying to do their great, trying to do some things. So he also directed Uncut Gems. So I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, I have.
And in that, Adam Sandler
is not very likable.
Not very likable, but you want him to succeed. Yeah. It's a crazy feeling to have in a movie that, like, I don't like you, but please tell me you get there.
Yeah.
And, like, even in that as well, they cast it well.
That's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah. So it's weird that that's kind of the theme that kind of comes through. Like, even Good Time with Rob Pattinson in it. Like, he's also this kind of, like, he's also, you're just gunning for him so hard. You kind of like him a little bit more. But he's also, you're also just, like, so invested in making sure that I hope he gets through this. Like, yeah. You know?
Kind of true to life, I suppose. Like, quite authentic in the fact that in real life, if you meet someone who's that gung-ho, there's a good possibility that you're not going to like them because they have one direction they're moving towards and you're just at the side of that.
It reminds me of the way people talk about Lea Michele from Glee.
Yes.
It's like...
Yeah,
like
where she's just a really
we
ambitious...
We hated her, but boy, can she sing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like...
And that was the whole narrative for her.
Yeah, it's like... I don't like you, but she's like, I don't care because I just want to be the best.
Yeah, and she is just one of the few names from Glee that we still remember.
Yeah, well, that's fair. And like that will be constantly in the news.
Anyway, Marty Supreme.
Yeah. Well, no, it's basically his story of trying to navigate to get enough money to go to Japan to take part in a table tennis tournament.
Okay, and it goes on over
everything that he's willing to do for that.
Okay. What is it about Timothée in this movie that has earned him this best Oscar? Because he was Bob Dylan last year. What is it about this one that has got him those accolades?
I think it's the hype behind him. I think like I think he got voted White Boy of the Year, which is a good accolade to get. But I think he gets internet culture. He seems like just a really chill guy. I think when Call Me By Your Name and stuff came out and
loved it.
I remember he was in movie with Steve Carell, Beautiful Boy. I thought they were awful. I didn't like them at all. Like Beautiful Boy, I thought was. I remember just being delighted when the credits came.
I honestly didn't get that he was in Beautiful Boy, and I know it. But I loved Call Me By Your Name.
So when it came to him being a name, I was kind of like, oh my god, not this guy, because I didn't. But then it's like, once he started being like, oh, I support this French team because I lived in that part of France and I used to chase after the bus to try and meet the players. And he used to have a YouTube channel where he'd mod Xbox remotes.
Okay.
And it's like these different things, like the media tour, the press tour for this has been very, like, it's been a lot of things that I would watch. Like, okay. So I watched, like, Drewski is this YouTuber.
Yeah.
And he was on that show and he was hilarious on it. Like, he was properly funny.
Okay.
Like, there was this child and he was pressing him. It was like, did you watch Wonka? And he was like, no. I know, he's like, yeah. It's like, which version? Was like, the old version. He's like, was it the one with Gene Wilder? And he's like, I don't know. It's like, was it Johnny Depp? And he's like, I don't know. It's like, why haven't you watched my version? Like, it's just, it's dumb, but it was funny. And it's like, it's this guy that knows the culture and these movies are made for people that like are of my age, I suppose, you know?
And at the same time, he's doing things like SNL and all the different talk shows as well. So he's kind of has a broad appeal for this.
Yeah, he goes across the generations, I feel.
Okay. Did you enjoy this?
Do you know what? It's such an interesting thing. I don't know.
Okay.
Because you're so against him. You're so annoyed, but you're so invested that I feel like someone could come out of it and be like, that was fantastic. And I'd be like, I get it. And someone could come out being like, that was awful. I'd be like, I get it. I think it's fantastically made and it's really enjoyable to watch. But I couldn't tell you if I liked it or not.
Okay.
Which is it's a fantastically made movie and it's the acting in it is really well done and like the characters and the casting and everything I think was really well done and like the story and stuff, the pace and just the different things that happen and how they happen. It's very real and sometimes like you get duped like as the audience because you see it from Timothy's view and somebody lies to him but you believe them. And then you realize later that like, oh no, I've been lied to, do you know?
Yes.
So I think you kind of step into his shoes of you have his drive, but you kind of see the more ethically issue, but like when he's so focused on just being the best, he looks past that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Will we be black pudding it?
Yeah, look, to be fair, it is a great movie. It's a very well-made movie. It is a great movie. I think like a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a 9 out of 10, but like it's not like how I'd rate like an entertainment movie. It's like a 9 out of 10 kind of more artsy type movie, okay. Like, you know?
All right, good start to 2026. Yeah. 9 out of 10 for Marty Supreme, starring Timothy Chalamet. Did I say it right there?
No.
Ah, what? I was so proud of myself.
Timothy
Chalamet. 2020, no, we won't say 2026 is the year that I get it all right. 9 out of 10, thank you very much. It's Oscar season, award season, and I love it.
I think he might win.
Really?
I do think he might win, yeah.
Okay. Thanks a million.
No probs.
This Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat.